This is Richer Than Music, documenting the stories of Canada's rich urban music culture. You're listening to Canada's Getting Colder, a joint perspective on Canadian hip-hop culture.
You are locked into a special broadcast called Richer Than Music. This is Canada's Getting Colder, a joint perspective on Canadian hip-hop culture. We are going to discuss industry, and looking beyond the music, hip-hop as a culture has more than a few business elements with traction across the country. It has, however, been a challenge to qualify just how influential hip-hop culture has been throughout Canada's demographic. This segment, we will explore the potential of hip-hop as a vehicle to deliver a strong national message. In studio, we have from left to right on your video screens is David Click Cox, who is the owner of management and consulting company CLK Creative Works, also a partner in DJ Service and Company on Blast Digital, and the list goes on with his credentials. Let it be known, Toronto, that this panel is definitely hip-hop. Also in the building, we have Jody Laraya, National Lifestyle Manager for Universal Music Canada. Thumbs down. We also have Jesse Jones, marketer and entrepreneur and founder of the 1081 Group, which now houses both JJ Urban and Uology 101. Currently, Jesse also oversees the brand management for Mark Echo Watches under Timex Group Canada. As well, in the building, we have Priya, who is a co-publisher, editor-in-chief, known to many as a passionate writer. Priya is also the editor-in-chief and co-founder of Urbanology Magazine, one of Canada's leading hip-hop culture magazines. Now, we've been talking all evening about hip-hop culture, its influence on Canadian heritage, and just how it penetrates communities right across the country. And we can talk about Toronto until we're blue in the face, understanding that Toronto has a very cosmopolitan and deep, rich history with hip-hop. But right across the country, we're trying to find those common threads. When we talked about heritage, we were able to establish that hip-hop culture definitely resonates with people beyond ethnicity. It goes into the households beyond the Black urban culture, but also goes into households for anybody who can resonate with the fashion, with the music, with the lifestyle and things that are associated with that. That being all said, based on what we know of Canadian hip-hop right now as a culture, does it possess the penetration across the country necessary to deliver a viable marketing vehicle using hip-hop culture as a message?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, I think it still has its challenges, though. When it comes to in Canada, I think it's the youth and everybody in basically opens up their arms, eat, sleep, everything when it comes to hip-hop. But I still find this a challenge when you're trying to deal with corporate companies or deal with other companies that see that as a way to get to the youth, but at the same time, they want to turn the back to it sometimes. Maybe it's because they don't speak the language and don't get it, you know? Whereas, you know, when you have somebody like Jesse over here who actually works for a company and eats and sleeps it and dreams it, you know, it enables him to actually bring that lifestyle to his company and make it, you know, do some great synergies like he's done with the Stylus Awards and things like that. You know what I mean? Plug, plug. But on the real, but that's what I feel like. I really, for somebody who's been trying to market and promote and work with, you know, properties that have to do with hip-hop in this country, it is a major challenge.
So what, you know? I want to do then is I want to jump from there, because I think across the board we can say that unless there is somebody who disagrees that there is penetration of the hip-hop culture across the board, we'll jump right into, and we'll use Jesse as the guinea pig on this one, but has Canada's boardrooms ever attempted an urban influence campaign or message at any point in Canada's hip-hop history? And if so, how can we evaluate the results, whether they're positive or negative?
I can speak on my own experiences. I mean,
definitely,
because,
sure.
You know, last year we did something really interesting with a guy by the name of Gavin Shepherd. Not sure if you guys, well, I'm sure everybody in this room knows who he is. A lot of people listening will know who he is. I think, to Click's point, what has to happen is there needs to be a level of understanding within these brands and these companies in order to even know what we can connect to, right? Because it's like, it's one thing to go, okay, we don't see enough campaigns with artists, or we don't see enough campaigns with other influencers within urban culture in Canada, but I think you have to look at it. I mean, you know, a lot of people want to say, oh, they do it in the States and they've been doing it for years, but it's a totally different demographic, right? And so you have to compare apples to apples. So one of the great things that I like about what I'm able to do is that I'm able to kind of bring worlds together. And in other brands, there are, you can't really blame somebody for not involving it because they don't get it. Like, they're not thinking that way or they're not familiar with it. So you have to really look at it from those terms and kind of measure it the same way. The campaign we ran, the Be Unlimited campaign we ran last year with Gavin, got a huge amount of push online, you know, virally. We actually won an award for that campaign, you know what I mean? And it was, but the whole thing was authentic, and it was generated that way because, you know, we're familiar with how to make that happen. So I think you got to look at it that way, you know what I mean? Brands will participate in the things that they get and understand.
There's definitely been some success stories. I mean, when you look at, you know, beyond Marc Ecko and Stylus, even artists, you know, partnering up with brands to do tours, you know, like Chaos recently doing something with Rogers, you know. I know Cardi's done things with partnership. I know, I even remember back in the day, Rascal's doing different things. Like, there is those doors open, but I still think we have the challenge, we still have a challenge in this, in the marketplace, where there's not enough people that come from our walk of life that understand it, that work within a lot of these companies that can bring the mentality and knowledge to a company to make it worth viable for them to say, hey, this is where we need to spend our money, you know? I'm sure Priya can speak, you know, from a standpoint of a magazine even, like, it must be challenging for you to even, you know, run a magazine in Canada, running after Canadian companies that are willing to spend money in the magazine. Because I know it's challenging even for the record companies to cough up money for ads, you know what I'm saying? So...
And I guess we can turn it towards Priya, because the conversations we've been having all evening has spoken to the fact that, yes, hip-hop culture is influential. It does resonate beyond ethnic barriers and things of that nature. We can say that businesses or corporations across Canada have tried urban-influenced messages. But the question that I guess I have for Priya is, does corporate Canada, from your viewpoint as a magazine editor and even in crafting your stories to have a national appeal, do they see the penetration and appeal that hip-hop culture has on the average Canadian? And not just, or do they still see it as a trend, fad?
Well, I would say the majority of corporate Canada, quite bluntly, the answer would be no. And then, and we've been doing the magazine for 5 years, and I would say throughout our whole entire existence, it's been a very difficult process to sort of convince corporate Canada of the influence that the demographic who reads the magazine has, and actually just to convince them of who that demographic really is, because they have a very narrow perspective as to who would be reading Urbanology, even just by hearing the name of the magazine alone, right? Without even looking at it. So I think it's been an extreme challenge, and I definitely think the answer is no, corporate Canada's not there yet. But not necessarily as a plug, but just as something of interest, in our upcoming issue, we actually have an article about how there has been some change, and we speak to Jesse in that article and speak to the work that he's doing and the work that some brands are doing to make those changes.
Great. Now, that's pretty much where we want to be right now. I'm going to focus this question towards Jody, and then everybody can chime in on this one, but where does Canadian hip-hop culture have left to grow to be considered a viable industry in any form across Canada? Is it just the fact that we're... I mean, and what I'm talking about now is basically questioning the popularity of hip-hop versus the effectiveness of hip-hop.
Where does Canadian hip-hop have left to grow?
Or prove?
You know what? Like, I think that the talent is definitely there. We've seen it through couple of successes in Canada, but I mean, it's not really going to get to that next level unless we have those types of mediums in place where we can take this whole thing to a total next level. You know what I mean? Like, sure, we have the Flow 93.5 or whatever, you know what I mean, like those so-called like urban stations and stuff, but at one point in time we had stations across the country, you know what I mean? And like, slowly they all switched. And in my opinion, because, like, you know, like, I really got into this whole thing just to try to help build Canadian hip-hop, and I wanted to see it come to that level where we're almost like the United States, in the sense that every city has like two urban stations. You know what I mean? That you can switch on at any time of the day and listen to the dopest mix show in the city. But we don't have that. You know, we try to do our best with what we have, with the stations that we have in place right now, but you know, I don't think that it's really reaching out like that. You know what I mean? And I think that the music that people are coming up with these days, like the talent is definitely there. It's just the mediums to ingrain it into the people's heads and kind of like build on its popularity aren't there. Like until cats like us here, like, you know, getting older and stuff, and you know, I think we're in these types of positions that we can take certain steps to change this whole development thing. But I think it's important for the people listening, like for the younger folks and stuff, to aspire to be those people, to be those heads of those conglomerates, to, you know, become media empires for urban music. And I think only until that point, we're going to stay kind of generally slowly changing as we're doing right now.
All right, I'll let Jesse add into that and then we'll jump to another.
There's a lot of really good things that Jody just said. And I just wanted to like add to it, because we're talking about whether or not urban music and culture has influence. Go to any club, any bar, in any of the major spots in the city. Walk inside, look at the demographic, whatever demographic it is, listen to the music that's being played. A lot of the times it's top 10, top 20, top 40, top 100, whatever. But of those top 100 songs, a lot of them come from the music and culture we're talking about right now. So the question of influence isn't really there. There is influence. What I think needs to happen, to Jody's point, is there needs to be more conduits between both worlds. So there needs to be more people who get both sides of it and can kind of like merge the two to make sense to both worlds, to make sense to A and make sense to B. And I think that that's what we're missing right now. I cannot tell you how many times I'll go to a meeting or another city to go and do different things and look around in the room and like I'm the only guy. What needs to happen is there needs to be more young guys like myself and the guys in the room and the females in the room that come up and say, okay, you know what? There's enough cats out there rapping. There's enough cats out there dancing. There's enough cats doing that. We need to be on the other side of it because we get it. We need to be able to give these people opportunities. That's what we're missing right now. We're heavy on one side and weak on the other. So there's all this talent out there, whether it be design, whether it be music, whether it be whatever, and no one in the boardrooms knows who those people are. Right. That's the big issue.
The revolution was done, I think, with the record companies a little bit.
Right.
You know, there was a time when these conversations were being had, like, you know, there's no radio stations, it's all calls radio, the record companies don't have anybody in there that know anything. That's kind of changed a little bit. You know, you had people come in there, do their thing, and now a lot of them are bouncing out of them as well. But my point is, it never really went. I don't really think the revolution happened outside of record company world. I don't think it really happened in other corporate Canada companies, you know. And I think that if there's anything to inspire our listeners right now, be it a kid that's listening right now, like, don't inspire to be a rapper, man. Be, you know, inspire to, like, run Coca-Cola and so that you can, you know, sponsor the Stylus Awards, so that you can sponsor an artist that Jody's pushing. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's the type of stuff that we need to do. And it's funny, I went to this, I'll make this really quick, but yeah. I'll never forget this keynote address that Karis One did at Canadian Music Week a couple years ago. And he made a really good point, and it made me feel like he basically came down to the realization that 20 years ago, you know, America was fighting revolution. And, you know, he had Absolute come to them back then asking to, you know, use one of his songs. And he was like, F you guys, you know, you don't understand my culture. I'm not sharing my culture with you. And then fast forward now, you know, he had somebody do the same thing. And he realized that the person that was coming to him now knew his catalog, was a fan of his stuff, could speak the same language as him and wanted to use his brand because he understood the brand. And it made him say, you know what? No, there's no revolution to fight anymore. You know, it's like we basically went in and infiltrated the whole system. Yeah. I don't feel we've done that in Canada.
Hmm. Now, given
how much time do we have for this?
That's something that we want to talk about. This is definitely, and this panel, Toronto, is one of those panels where we could go for hours, but we do only have about 10 more minutes in this conversation. What I do want to get to is setting a table for further conversations. Now, Click makes a very good point. Given the population of Canada, given the fact that we know that we represent the largest landmass of any country in the world, but our population doesn't quite spread throughout that, and also understanding that the population is very diverse in that very sparse spreading of people that are involved, does hip-hop culture have to establish a near-dominant penetration across this country to be considered viable? And is that even a realistic goal for us? Should we be allocating our resources somewhere else as just a...
Really, I think it's happening.
Okay.
Straight up, I think it's happening. And that revolution I'm talking about is happening with the people that are in this room, the people that's on the boards right now,
right.
The people, the artists. And really, it's the point where it's like, they're going to have to come to our party now because it's happening. And you got to give props to guys like Drake and Cardi and guys like that and Melanie Fiona who are waving a Canadian flag.
Right.
Like, that's really what it comes down to is, you know, not to diss any other Canadian artists that have had success in America, but the urban ones, I don't think they've really waved the flag so much as I see these guys waving the flag.
Mm-hmm.
And just to add on to Click's point and stuff, like, look at Julie Black. You know, she's on, you know what I mean? Like, she's on there and stuff. Like, there's a prime example of infiltration right there. Mm-hmm. Like, they loved her spunk so much that they gave her segments and stuff, let her interview Jay-Z. Good Lord, Jay-Z, man. Like, that's prime infiltration right there. But I really, the way I picture it, I don't want to be the infiltrator. I don't want to be that ninja, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be that person that we have something to call our own. We have a station to call our own to foster this whole urban community and stuff. I don't know, that's the way I see it anyway.
I like the way the conversation is going, and definitely I see where we are now, Toronto, and everybody across the country. There is a larger responsibility for the hip-hop community to sort of stand up and take on the rights and responsibilities of what this culture is. But beyond that, looking at the commonalities, that thread of commonality across that country, I talked to Cass Elliott in Winnipeg, and he's representative of Nova Scotia and Winnipeg, and he talked about the fact that, just like Click was saying, we need more fans and less artists and things of that nature, but more importantly, he said that he truly believes we've come to a point now where people accept that urban music, black music, is an acceptable form of music. It's no longer taboo to say urban music is black music. People understand it. They understand the history. There's some people that will Wikipedia it, YouTube it, and understand the culture of urban music more than those who come from that ethnic lineage. So I guess my question to the people on the panel is, how much do we need to share that story to corporate Canada? The fact that the lifestyle and the heritage that hip-hop culture has developed is here, and it's being accepted across the board beyond ethnicities, beyond culture. Is that a message that needs to be heard, or am I going out of whack for that?
I think it's definitely a message that needs to be heard, but I agree with what was said earlier on the panel in that one of the major ways that it is going to be heard is when it comes from within. Because when it comes from outside, it's as easy as closing that email or hanging up the phone or just dashing something into the garbage, right? But if that person is a marketing representative or a marketing manager or whatever executive on your team, and they're coming to you and sharing with you that experience, that makes people sit up and take notice more. Or when somebody from their circle is rooting for it.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I hate to be so Debbie Downer about this, but, I mean, when it comes to corporations and stuff, like, they really just care about business and numbers, you know? Like, especially with the people in power right now, like, I don't think it's necessary to really share, you know, heritage and stuff. Like, they just want to see that it's a viable kind of market for them. But one example, though, that was kind of cool was that at Universal, like, we wanted to pick up the Amnesia Project. Right, which is like an old school compilation CD and stuff, but you know, it wasn't really, they're kind of like on board, like kind of not really, you know. But it took us having to take one of the marketing managers to go to an Amnesia party and party it up just so she could experience the whole vibe and see the kind of, you know, I guess the people that go to these jams and who kind of like, you know, are into these types of parties for her to sway her decision to a yes, to pick up the project and stuff. So,
but that's a perfect example. I mean, if you weren't inside the system to tell the actual marketing manager, let's go to this party, maybe if there was nobody within the system, then whoever, you know, Enon Jaspinet was going over and trying to pitch his product to them, which would they have even jumped on board if they didn't have a person like you in the corner?
Well, we kind of forced their hand to jump because we wanted them to actually see what the potential numbers could be like firsthand,
right?
You know, and kind of enjoy the experience in the process. But usually people aren't so flexible like that in corporate Canada, you know what I mean? Like these guys are old, you know, like they don't really want to party no more, you know, like they've been there, done that, really, you know? You know, us coming from like you know, we still go to clubs and whatnot, still experience like street culture and stuff, they don't really want to be out like that, you know? Like
I still think there's a bad stigma around urban music and hip hop in this country. Mm-hmm. I really do.
No,
and I think that I know this from trying to book venues, from trying to help artists get booking tours, from tons of stuff. Like, there's a terrible stigma that it's a black thing that still happens, and really is not. It's a diverse, it reaches all different types of audiences of all different, you know, makeups. And I think that really my honest opinion is it has to come, like, somebody needs to be within the system to show these guys that, yo, that is not really what it is.
I'll let Jesse be the last one to talk on that.
To just to go off these points, because they're all incredible. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I think what needs to really be understood is that the culture is not at a lack for talent, okay? So we are always going to have talent. We are always going to have artists. We are always going to have athletes. We are always going to have talent that is going to really push industries all over the place. What we need to do is we need to get more talent on the other side of the business. So whether we're talking about music, whether we're talking about sports, whatever we're talking about, what needs to happen is we need to have more individuals who are just as excited about mergers and building things together as they are about hitting a three in front of a bunch of people or winning a battle. Or I'm not even like, right. I'm talking like this. Oh, is true. What I really believe. I'm sorry if people are offended out there, but this is what I really believe because I see it. We need to have more people who are just as excited about representation and management and brand management and things like that, whether it's for a company or it's on your own. You know, that's I think the thing that's really missing, because what you need is you need, like Click said and like Jody said and like Priya is saying, you know, you need to have people who understand it in order to connect it and to connect it seamlessly and not just like paste them on top of each other and say, oh yeah, that's going to be cool, that's going to work. You know, you really got to understand it, and that's what we're really missing.
Okay. Toronto, this is just the beginning. There's lots of conversations that can be had. And like I said before, this panel is very knowledgeable about those topics, and we will have them back in studio to continue those conversations. Richer Than Music is designed to highlight stories that reflect the influence and expression of urban music culture in our experiences across Canada. In reviewing Canadian hip hop in all its various forms today, we didn't hope to necessarily solve any one particular issue. But more importantly, our goal was to set the table for future discussions and highlight the reality that Canadian hip-hop is relevant, Canadian hip-hop is vibrant, and in many ways representative of the life experiences for many Canadians beyond the geographic and ethnic component. Worthy of discussion, our experiences span much further than our contributions in music and sports. Yet, in listening to music and discussing the genre of hip-hop today, one can only be encouraged at the tremendous legacy Canada's urban music scene has crafted for itself. There is no doubt that when we write the memoirs of our Canadian experience, much of that soundtrack will include more than a few choice cuts from urban Canadian culture. Even if you're not a fan of Tona or Drake or Maestro, take an honest look of your environment and ask yourself, how far-reaching is hip-hop culture in the way that it influences the fashion, the sounds, the events, and the sights that surround and define your community? That is the current legacy of hip-hop. That is the strength of hip-hop culture. And if you are an active contributor to Canada's hip-hop industry, then it is your right and responsibility to nurture this sapling tree, because now we represent the next link in a long line that will endure our story as it holds, and beyond the music, our contributions are counted on by the next generation of Canadians to enjoy quality, passion, and perseverance evident in what hip-hop is. We want to thank Legion Media, TOFlow.com, and of course, CHOY 105.5, and all of the listeners and panelists across the country that contributed to this broadcast, Canada's Getting Colder. Up next, we have DJ O paying homage to women in hip-hop, and we continue Inside Black History. This has been Canada's Getting Colder, a joint perspective on Canadian hip-hop culture. I want to thank you for joining us.
You're listening to Canada's Getting Colder, a joint perspective on Canadian hip-hop culture.